Good evening and welcome. It's KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming. The entirety of tonight's KVC Arts is in conversation with Claudette Robinson. Along with Smokey Robinson and a few family members, she was among the original Miracles. Now, being a part of the first Motown-related group and the first million seller for the label, she's literally and figuratively the First Lady of Motown, a title bestowed upon her by Berry Gordy. Motown is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year, and in commemoration, the special 11-CD Motown, the complete number one box set, will be released globally June 28th. Robinson and I spoke about the box set, her career, and more. Starting with this 60th anniversary of Motown this year, and in commemoration, we've got Motown, the complete number ones box set, this 11-CD set. And I'd like to hear first about even the notion of this incredible box set. And I'm curious what your involvement may have been, or perhaps it would be more inclusive to ask, what's your involvement with Motown today?
My involvement with Motown is I am the First Lady of Motown, that Mr. Gordy gave me that official title, because I was the first female, and we were the first group. We had the first million seller as well. We came to Mr. Gordy actually in 1957, and as you know, Motown did not begin until 1959. So therefore, we were basically the first everything, you know. There weren't any others, so that happened to be our lucky time.
Yes, indeed. So were you a part in the assemblage of this CD set, or did they call on you for input?
Unfortunately, no. I would have loved to have been a part of that, but I was not. I do have a copy of it. I got it the other day, and I was able to kind of go through it and see what the songs were and some of the pictures, and probably if I had been doing it, I would have put some additional pictures in there. Number one, I would have had a picture of me along with the group, because I didn't see any in there, so I would have been the hashtag, where is the lady?
Yeah.
You know, I would have been saying that, because I would have wondered, where's the picture?
Absolutely. That's actually kind of shocking to me that you would not be included. But then again, didn't you even have a very, very after-the-fact inclusion with the Miracles induction into the Hall of Fame?
I was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as well as the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Because what my career was is that I began with the guys and stayed with the guys until I actually had to leave the group. Mr. Gordy and Mr. Robinson thought that my health was suffering, because unfortunately I had a total of 8 miscarriages.
Oh my gosh.
And they were long-term miscarriages. So therefore, I left the performance part. I no longer perform live with the group, but I continue to record on each and every record that the group made.
Okay, gotcha.
So that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of basically who I am and what I did.
Were you by chance a part of Motown 60? This was another part of this wonderful 60th anniversary of Motown. This was a special that aired recently on CBS.
Yes, it did. I was not a major part. You know, I wasn't like on stage. They did show me in the audience, you know, with my name across me. Of course, I thought that nobody really saw me, but I was so surprised that my neighbors and so many people called to say, I saw you on Motown 60. So I was very happy about that, because Motown is very important to me and very special to me. And it has been important to our lives, to our families, because it did a lot. We were all teenagers in the beginning. And so, therefore, you know, it changed our life course as to what we were going to do. I was planning to finish college and become a teacher. I also was a part of the United States Marine Corps Reserves and actually was on their rifle team and became a sharpshooter. So I've had a lot of wonderful experiences. You know, I love children. I also have been close to my children and also to my grandchildren. In fact, volunteering in school. But then getting back to Motown, Motown gave me the opportunity that as I was performing, making lifelong friendships from around the world, it made that all possible.
Beautiful. And actually, back to your children for just a moment. Both of your children, they have very directly Motown and or Miracles or even Matador, as we could say, inspired names. Is that correct? Do you mind sharing that?
My son's name is Barry, named, of course, after his godfather, Mr. Gordy, and his middle name is William, after his dad, Smokey. And then his name after that is Barope, which is B-O for Bobby, R-O for Ronnie, and P-E for Pete. And those are the three other members of the Miracles. My daughter's name is Tamla, which was the first record label, T-A-M-L-A. And her middle name is Claudette, after her mom.
Nice.
And, of course, Robinson for both of them.
That's just really cool. And I was so glad you mentioned the name that combined all of the Miracles. That's not a name that would have come up in high school. How is that pronounced there?
That's right. Yeah. That is correct.
Yeah. Oh,
that
gosh.
That is definitely correct.
It's beautiful just to have that sort of living memorial, if you will. Let's look at your history in that I'm going to start with somewhat of a maybe a chicken or egg question here, okay? You've had music as a part of you since you were quite young, and I'm curious if it was the church choir that got the music into you, or was it the music that was inside of you that got you into the church choir?
Well, you probably are going to have to say both. I did start very early singing in our church choir, and that really is because my great uncle was the pastor of the church, and my grandmother was the secretary of the church. So I just went to church with them all the time. So when I was about 3 or 4 years old, at one point they stood me up on a box and had me at the National Baptist Convention singing in front of, I don't know how many, you know, gospel at that time. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother unfortunately passed away when I was 8 years old. And at that point, I moved to Michigan, Detroit. And, you know, at that point, you started hearing all types of music. You heard gospel, you heard classical, a little bit of everything. And then in your school choir, you often were introduced to all types of music as well as what you heard in your home.
And so, yeah, I was prepared to ask you how old you were. So around 8 or 9 or so when you moved from New Orleans to Detroit. That's actually kind of nice. It's not that you were having to start in the middle of high school. Although now that I say that out loud, it was the middle of high school when you actually graduated. You graduated very early, 15, I believe.
Yes, I did graduate early. Believe it or not, you know how often people think that the South doesn't give you a great education. Well, actually, I probably should have graduated at 14.
Ooh.
But when we moved, we were like mid-year, and my mother said she thought that I was going too fast in school academically and that the kids were much older, so she didn't want me to come across maybe too many things that she didn't want me to become involved in.
And you mentioned the Marine Reserves. I have to say, being a sharpshooter, that'd be handy in Detroit. But what got you to the Reserves? Not a lot of women were doing this. Oh, if I have my math correct, this would be around 58 or 59 or so?
Yes, uh-huh. I was always fascinated by the military. Anything that had a uniform. And I think it was, I was looking in my photo books, flipping back, mm-hmm. and it seems like I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, and one of our cousins had come home from overseas in the Army, and he had this uniform on, mm-hmm. and they put his hat on my head. And I think from that point on, I became just enthralled with the military and hearing the stories about what you'd see and being able to perhaps one day travel around the world, because that was my fascination of being able to travel around the world. And fortunately, I was able to do that with the Miracles.
Nice. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR, streaming live at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Claudette Robinson, the First Lady of Motown. More on Claudette at themiraclesshop.com/Claudette Robinson. Motown is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year and will be releasing the special 11-CD Motown, the Complete Number Ones box set on June 28th. Let's talk about just before the miracles, and that would be the Matadors, and also, in your case, the Matadorettes, the sister group to the Matadors. I know that at some point you replaced your brother, Sonny Rogers, when he went into the Army, but I'm trying to get a timeline on when and why the Matadors became the Miracles and all that. I know it's not too much time here that this switch happened.
There wasn't a real time span. There wasn't a lot of years. My brother, whenever he would be singing in a group, when he had a group called the Orchids, I had a sister group called the Orchorettes. So when he became a Matador, then I formed a group called the Matadorettes. We had a basement, so we would all rehearse in our basement. So anybody who had a group that was in the neighborhood, they could come over and rehearse in the basement or in the back of my dad's pickup truck. Because the pickup truck would be under the street light, because our house was right in front of the street light. And what would happen is, of course, at that time, you know, you always had to be in by dark. So since we knew we had to be in by dark, then we would just sit under the street light when it got dark, and then you could still be out for a little bit. But in terms of the Matadors, prior to them being the Matadors, they were the Five Chimes. And the Five Chimes included three of the guys, Smokey, Ronnie, and Pete. Smokey, Ronnie, and Pete were always the three that went through all the groups, from the Chimes to the Matadors to the Miracles. My brother was first in the Matadors. He was never a Miracle, and I'll explain that to you in just a little bit. He actually left for Germany in the United States Army before the Miracles were started, and that's how I became a Miracle, because we went to an audition, and at the audition, of course, they didn't like the group with the girl in the background.
Oh.
And with that, at that particular meeting, we fortunately met Mr. Gordy. He happened to be around, and he was listening, and he wanted to know about the songs that we were singing, because we were singing, actually, original songs that Smokey had written, and he really liked what he was hearing, and so he wanted to hear more, and we went over to the piano, and we started singing more of those songs, and he said that he would like to work with us. However, he did give what I consider a lesson to Smokey in telling him how songs should be written. They should have a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know, not to go like all over the place. And we started working with Mr. Gordy, and that year was 1957. As we were working with Mr. Gordy, he said, you guys really need a song. You know, you need a recording so that people can hear you and get to know who you are, et cetera, et cetera. At that time, we're still the Matadors. So he said, you need to have a name, because Matadors doesn't suit a group that has a girl in it.
Right.
So we all put names in a hat, and I pulled the name Miracle out of the hat. And that's how we became the Miracles. Now, Smokey will say he pulled a name, but Pete isn't here to actually back me up on that. But I was the one who pulled the name Miracles out of the hat.
Walked all day till my feet were tired. I was low, I just couldn't get hired. Saw a sign in a grocery store. Help is light, and we need some more.
I got a job.
Sha-da-da-da, sha-da-da-da.
I got a job.
Sha-da-da-da, sha-da-da-da.
Sha-da-da-da,
sha-da-da-da.
I got a job.
Sha-da-da-da.
Some of the most famous names that I've spoken to, a lot of these names that I expect would be so well thought out and researched, and this is why we're doing it. It's been a draw from a hat. It's been more often than not somebody drew it from a hat.
The other thing, too, is that we were still young. We're still teenagers, so teenagers sometimes have a different train of thought.
Do you by chance remember some of the other names that you guys would have thought of, something absurdly and maybe embarrassingly teenager-like?
I think one was Four Gladiolas and a Rose.
That's a lot to put on the marquee.
Happy we didn't get that name.
Yeah, yeah. So you met Berry Gordy, and that's incredible for us looking back. You know, my God, that's Mr. Motown, you know? But back then, it was a new thing. It was a very new label.
When we first started, we were not on PAMA or Motown. We actually started out on the N Records label out of New York City, and George Golner, who was known at that time for Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
Oh.
And that's who we recorded for our first record, which was Got a Job. Unfortunately for us, Got a Job afforded us the large sum of $3.19 for everybody. So with that, I was thinking to myself, I think we all need to go back to school and get our education, because I don't think this one is going to work, you know. But I was always pretty quiet. I was a quiet one, basically, because I thought these guys have been working many more years than I have and really, really trying to get a record deal. So I'll let them make most of the decisions, at least at that time.
Never, never could my brand new job.
You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. The sole focus of tonight's show is in conversation with Claudette Robinson, the First Lady of Motown. Motown is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. In commemoration, the special 11-CD Motown, the Complete Number Ones box set will be released June 28th. Later in the program, songwriting with the Miracles and My Girl, a song made big by the Temptations, which was inspired by Claudette.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me, you better shop around.
So Shop Around then, that was, I guess, the Miracles' first huge hit. Was that recorded on the label, or was that the song that brought you to the label?
In terms of bringing us to the label, I always consider that Mr. Gordy is and was the label, because it was his idea, his dream of making a label for artists to come to. And after our, what I consider our flop of the century with the Got a Job. However, we didn't just stop with Got a Job. We had a two-record deal with N. We had a two-record deal with Chess. None of them were working out that well, so a suggestion was for Mr. Gordy to start his own label. And that's how Motown and Pamela.
My mama told me, you better shop around.
Early on, when I first read your title, First Lady of Motown, I really would have guessed that it was because of your marriage to Smokey, but that's not it at all. I mean, kind of a natural...
I've had to clarify that as of late, and the answer to that is that I was a miracle before I became a Mrs.
Nice,
because
nice.
I was married in 59, but we recorded in 58, so I was a miracle, and then I became a Mrs.
And you were quite literally going beyond First Lady as a title. You were truly the first female of Motown, yes?
That's correct.
Nice. another retrospect type of thing, it would be quite an honor, looking back in retrospect, to be the first woman signed to a label such as this. But at the time, was it really anything more than, hey, we got signed, maybe we'll get more than $3.98 divided by four?
Well, I'll tell you, it certainly was not what it has become. In my wildest imagination and dreams, I never, ever would have thought that 60 years later, for us, this would all be taking place, or some would even be interested to talk about. Because sometimes I feel as though my story has gotten a little lost along the way. And that's for a number of reasons. No one is to blame or no one is to whatever. It's just from people not knowing. Some people think that Diana Ross was the first lady or somebody else, but Diane and the group came much later. You know, when we came to meet Mr. Gordy and started rehearsing and all the things that we were trying to do at that time and to also get a record deal, there weren't any others. There weren't any other females. And when people started coming to Motown, it was basically all male. So this time around, it's very good as we are celebrating 60 years for the Year of the Woman. And I can say I'm the first lady.
Yep.
It's quite an honor for me. And I feel so excited about what is going to take place the rest of this year for Motown as well as for myself. You know, three of our members, Bobby, Ronnie, and Pete, unfortunately have passed away.
Yes.
You know, I was there in the hospital with Pete in his last hours, and Bobby, of course, was my cousin, so of course I was flying back and forth to Michigan to try and be with him in his last days. And Ronnie, of course, passed away many years ago. He had leukemia. And so it's like, as this is now happening, celebrating 60 years, I know what Motown meant to the guys. They love Motown. They love the Miracles. They wanted to keep the legacy of the Miracles going so that, you know, the world would know what five little people got together and what they were able to accomplish in a short time.
Indeed.
So one of the things that I keep thinking about is I'm alive, I'm here, and I'm thankful and I'm grateful, but I feel like I have a mission, and that mission is to keep the legacy of the Miracles alive and to allow the world to know that the Miracles were the first. I was the first female becoming the first lady of Motown, and that the first million seller for Motown was Shop Around. You know, it's important because as we all get older, soon there may not be a person here on Earth to tell the story. My thought is if I don't do it, I don't know who will. And the other thing is that I feel like it's my real mission to do that for the guys, because we all worked really hard in those early days, because it certainly was not like show business is today. We were traveling in a car, not a van, not a bus, in a car. And it was six of us in the car. And the sixth person was Marv Tarplin. And that was our guitarist and was with us. And after that, with Smokey for many, many years until he passed away.
You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. Streaming live at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Claudette Robinson, the First Lady of Motown. More on Claudette at themiraclesshop.com/Claudette Robinson. Motown is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. In commemoration, the special 11-CD Motown, the complete number ones box set, will be released globally June 28th. If a person goes to either your website or if they just Wikipedia search for you there, There is a page with all of your awards and awards with the Miracles that is as long as the entry on you itself. But I think one of the coolest ones, and I don't know, we have different perspectives on what's cool, I suppose, but Smokey and Ronald wrote My Girl. I had no idea about this, I have to admit. I only knew it as a Temptation song. I never knew that it was actually a Smokey Robinson and Ronald White composition, but I just learned that this song was dedicated to you. I would really love to hear of the situation in which My Girl was first presented to you. Was it sung to you? Did they just take you into a room and sing it?
You know, I think that I may have been an inspiration for that, but I don't believe that it was actually written especially for me. But they've always called me My Girl. And in the beginning of the song, as it was written, Ronnie was writing words that he would have said to his wife, Earlyn, at that time, and Smokey would have been doing the same. However, as the stories go around, then you start hearing different versions. But my version is just basically more of an inspiration than actually fully writing it for me.
Gotcha. Well, that's still a really sweet gesture, and to know that you were a part of that in any form. So with the Miracles, of course, we see and we think of Smokey on the lead vocals much of the time, but there was a fair amount with you on there. So again, I'm curious about that with you backing off from the group, but still, you were on the Watusi. Also, My Heart Says Yes, that was also yours, I think?
Well, actually, Mr. Gordy, as well as Smokey and the group members, they actually wanted me to do more on the lead. But I can tell you, at that time, I was so shy. I just didn't know how was I going to do this, you know, because I guess the one song that I actually used to perform on, and that was After All, and we would actually do that live. And one of the other songs is actually on the box set, Who's Loving You?
Yeah.
At the end, I just say my little Who's Loving You?
Yeah.
And the audience used to just go crazy because it was like they're hearing me. You know, they're actually hearing me by myself. And if I would start all over again, you know, like if it was today that I was in the group, I think I would have tried to do much more, because I don't think I really realized the impact it would have had for later on. And our first recording, when Smokey was recording me, I used to like hide behind the, you know, they would put the whatever it's called around you, and I would turn my back, turn the light down so nobody could really see me, because I was really that shy about performing by myself. Now, if you took me with the group or any other choir or something else, I would be so loud until they would be telling me, a little softer, please. And I don't know, I can't tell you, maybe that had something to do with youth or whatever. I don't know why I did that, because I listened to it today and I'd be like, I could have done that song better. I could have done this, you know, but it's always after the fact.
Yeah.
When treated you bad, wrong, my dear, and since, girl, since you went away, don't you know I sit around with my head hanging down, and I wonder who is loving you.
I must tell you, I have been thinking, just thinking about maybe doing a few recordings, like in an album.
Oh, I would love that.
I've been thinking about it. I said, you know, let me try to get these chops up in shape.
Yeah.
And see how I'm sounding, and maybe go in the studio and see what happens.
I know that I would not be on an isolated island myself, but looking forward to that album or EP or whatever you put out. You know, people are doing vinyl again. Put out a 45. There's just a couple of songs right there.
You know, when you're saying the vinyl, I was in Detroit last week, and I went to, I think it's Third Man Records, and they're pressing vinyls, and they're showing you in this studio how they're doing it. They're actually recording the people live on stage, and some of them at the end they're pressing up a vinyl for them, and I was just amazed. I didn't really realize so much of vinyl was going on.
Oh gosh, yes. I don't know, part of it I think is just this kind of retrospective sort of, like, people are into cassettes for some reason, and I was, you know, well, for example, glad to be away from them. But albums, there's a lot of people going back to them. I guess, well, they never had to schlep around a box of records taking that to the gig. They just had electronic downloads or whatever.
And wonder.
You're listening to KBCR on 91.9 KBCR. Streaming live at kbcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming, in conversation with Claudette Robinson, dubbed by Berry Gordy as the First Lady of Motown. More on Claudette at themiracleshop.com/Claudette Robinson. Later, some of Robinson's philanthropic work, influence on other performers and groups, and her autobiography. When writing songs, and again, I'm picturing this very, very shy little girl, maybe even not even with her eyes up when she's handing over this piece of paper, but when writing songs, do you come in with the song completely, and then the other miracles came in with the background, the wahoo stuff, and the which way to go, background vocals kind of stuff? Or would you write that out yourself?
It wasn't actually done like that. Many times, you know, each and every one of the members of the group have writer's credit on some record or many records. Sometimes they would just have an idea, or Smokey would be sitting and writing, and then somebody would chime in with a line or, you know, whatever else, and whatever percentage that they would get after that. Smokey was just, in all honesty, I'll have to, like, give it to him. He is absolutely amazing songwriter. Words come to him so easily in terms of being able to write the songs, until for me, I would take my little words and just throw them away, because I'd be saying, now, how do you get that? You know, he has such a way of coining phrases that you normally would not even think of. It's just a God's gift for him. You know, everybody doesn't have that gift.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's amazing with that. You know, I'd have to, like, say I consider him number one as far as the songwriter goes.
Deservedly so. Really, as you were saying this, I could just picture him saying, people think I'm the life of the party because I tell a joke or two. And really, that's just being a statement
right.
In conversation, not actually trying to write a song. But my gosh, then that became so huge once again.
I know. I know.
This one gets slightly away from your part of the miracles, but your reaction to the song Love Machine. You weren't one of the miracles by this point, and it had such a different sound. So I want to stress, I'm looking for a perception at the time. Were you thinking, hey, cool tune, changing with the times? Or perhaps more of a, that's not a miracle sound. Do you recall hearing Love Machine for the first time?
You know, my thought on that was that it was a new lead singer, So probably changing the sound was probably a good thing, because had they not changed the sound, probably people would have been still looking for the Smokey Robinson and the Miracle sound. I mean, it was a great song, so how could you not want it to succeed? Or, you know, it was great for the time, because the times had definitely changed. You know, we're starting in the late 50s, and then now this is in the 70s, so I thought it was a great thing. Because Bill is a wonderful singer, his way of performing and singing, so I didn't have a problem at all with it.
Nice. Something you said earlier about, not only influence of some of the other groups, and this is my paraphrase of you just moments later, but also telling the story. I'll go into it this way. There have been several statements of, say, Berry Gordy, actually, himself, saying, without the Miracles, there'd be no Motown. Stevie Wonder saying, without the Miracles, there'd be no Stevie Wonder. And Betty Kelly of Martha and the Vandellas, without the Miracles, we wouldn't have formed. You could stop right there. You could rest on those laurels alone, but you've got so much more there. But I know it's many years back you began writing your autobiography, A Miraculous Life. Has this been completed? Is this out there?
I'm going to have to say, unfortunately.
Uh-oh.
And I think one of the reasons is I've gone so many different directions, because for me it's like so much to tell. And trying to put it all together so that it was like one story complete, you know, without making it two or three different books. But I'm really still working on it, and I better get it done too, because that's all I hear from either the fans or even like my family or friends, and they're like, why haven't you finished that? Yeah. Well, there were a couple of times that I had a ghostwriter, which did not work out for me. I know it works out for a lot of people, but they were going in a total different direction of where I want to go, because many of them want to talk about other people's lives and stories. And my thought always is, if you want to hear about so-and-so's story, you really need to get with them and write their book. The only way you can tell if they want to talk about who was in the bed with whom is that I would have had to have been in there to know who was in there.
Yeah.
So that's... You know, dishing the dirt, that's not something that I plan to do in my story. You know, I remember once there was a pretty well-known writer, and I had shown him what I thought was my finished product, and he said, it sounds a little bit, it's a little bit sugar-coated. And I said, well, if it's sugar-coated, I guess I must be a sugar-coated girl or something. I said, because... You know, it's not, I'm telling you, this is my story. This is what I've lived, my life. Fortunately, I've not had to go through, you know, any sort of like rehab or, and I'm not saying anything about people who've had that, but fortunate that I didn't have to go through any of that. A lot of situations that people have been involved in or something, I have not. And for that, I'm grateful and thankful. So therefore, you know, I couldn't tell them a story about, you know, I was a former anything, drug addict, alcoholic, whatever, you know, all the other things. And that's like a blessing. It's not like bragging. It's not anything else. I don't know how I survived. As they say, a girl of the 60s that did not get involved. I just figure the good Lord was looking down and my grandmother's prayer.
You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. Streaming live at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Claudette Robinson, the First Lady of Motown. More on Claudette at themiraclesshop.com/Claudette Robinson. Motown is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year and will be releasing the special 11-CD Motown, the Complete Number Ones box set on June 28th. One of your many, many accolades, you received the key to the city of Detroit. We see these, is this actually a certificate? Is it actually like a big key like you see in the presentations hanging on your wall somewhere? What form does that actually take?
It's both a certificate and a key.
Huh.
And mine, I have it framed with the key as well as the certificate in a frame. And mine was because of education. I received the key to the city. city of Detroit for what they felt I had done with and for education, in terms of when I had gone to my former church, I had received a scholarship for college. Years later, after the miracles and all, I was a person that was giving back and thankful that I could or be able to give back. And at that event also was Dr. Martin Luther King's daughter.
Oh, wow.
So we were there speaking, and it was a wonderful event. Very, very nice, and one that I'm extremely proud of, because there are not a lot of people that have received the key to the city of Detroit.
I'm going to wrap with something that has, I think, nothing to do with the music. What really caught my eye, the Joy Community Outreach to End Homelessness.
That is an organization that gives back to the homeless in terms of food, not shelter, but they were given food every week, twice a week. So I was just a part of that, and Dr. John actually gave me an award for being a part of that, for donations as well as sometimes service, you know, being able to actually hand out food. It's also very good to be able to give back, because wherever you are is not where you have always been.
Absolutely.
And it's a blessing for the ones of us who have been a little bit more fortunate than others to have had a career and some of the things that have been afforded to us. I mean, you cannot deny that that's a blessing, a true blessing. And the other thing is people allowing you to have the honor of these things happening for you. Because everybody doesn't get the chance. There are many, many, many talented people in this world. Much more talented probably than any of us can even imagine. Sometimes I've gone to the Santa Monica Pier and there will be people performing. You know, they have no name, no career, no known name.
Yep.
And they're amazing. There was one young lady that I saw one day, and I tried my best to get something going for her. It didn't work out, but I did send her on to maybe somebody that could help her, because she was just too talented for the world not to hear her. But somehow she just couldn't get it going. But I guess that's what they say. That's life. You can't always do what you think would be something amazing, because I thought she was just great. I mean, she played instruments, and her voice was clear as a bell, and she had a lot going for herself. But maybe there were other issues that I didn't know about and didn't work out.
And we've got other groups, well, like the Masqueraders, and they even tried to go to Motown, but that didn't work out. I think that they were looked at as another Temptations at that point. Mm-hmm. But now they've just come through. They are actually just now hitting it huge, 45, 50 years later. And that's incredible. You never know.
That's true. Because if you had asked me this 60 years ago,
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about today, I certainly would have told you, no, it's not going to happen. I thought we'd get 2 good years and then, you know, get back to what I call the normal world. And I'm very happy that it happened the way that it did happen. But I have to say thanks to all the wonderful people around the world who gave us the opportunity. Because our first time out, I don't know if you've heard that story or not, when we were at the Apollo Theater and the owner actually was going to send us back home, had called Mr. Gordy and said, those kids, I don't know. But he said we had such a hard time getting on and off the stage, because what they'd say is, ladies and gentlemen, you know, 3 from stage right, 2 from stage left, and we'd get in the center, and as we were in the center, we'd just start clapping away. Well, that took up a lot of time, because you have to realize at that time they had 5-6 acts on the show. They didn't have time for you to be clapping. They wanted you to get right into whatever you're going to do. Sing your song and get off. You know? So he was about to send us home, but thanks to the wonderful Apollo audience, I think they took pity on us, like, you know, a young girl and 4 young guys. Let's give them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be thankful for that, because they gave us a chance, and then we see the end result of what's happened as we're speaking in 2019.
Claudette, you just said that you were hoping for a good 2 years, and you got a good 60 years. That's just incredible. That is incredible.
I have to agree with you. It has been incredible, but it's been a wonderful journey, an amazing journey that I thought would never happen, because I've been able to speak to people around the world, telling them of my story and also the story of the miracles, because I always want to remind them that long before it became Smokey Robinson and the miracles, we were all miracles. In that, I also want them to remember Bobby Rogers, Ronnie White, Pete Moore, and not lastly, but firstly, Claudette Robinson.
That's right.
First Lady of Motown.
The CD set comes out the 28th of June. This show is going to be airing just in time for people to go out and get this box set.
I'm sure they'll all enjoy it. It's like a replica. The whole box set is like Hitsville, USA, which looks like the original building and, you know, Motown and the Doors. I mean, it looks like you're standing in front of Hitsville. And it's really, really a real collector's item, something that you'd want to put on your shelf and display for others, because it's actually a great box set. You'll be surprised to see and hear the many songs, some of the ones that are truly familiar, and then others that you probably may not have known were quite as famous, that became so famous.
Yep.
But it's a great box set, so I'd say for everybody to go out and definitely get one for yourself, and I'd say two. One that you'd play and one that you kept as a collector's item.
You will never, ever get one box set that has both The Miracles and Rick James.
Yeah, that was really something. But again, I know your time is running out, but I thank you again. It's been a lot of fun,
yeah. And
I hope to actually physically meet you one day in person.
When my heart says yeah, yeah.
For the entirety of tonight's KVC Arts, it's been music from Motown and conversation with the First Lady of Motown, Claudette Robinson. Once again, in commemoration of Motown's 60th anniversary, the special 11-CD Motown, the Complete Number Ones box set, will be released globally June 28th. And that wraps up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks once again to Claudette Robinson and to Karen Weissen of Missing Piece Group. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Sharina Wadd, Taylor Milliner, and KVCR Director of Operations Tony Papa. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVC Arts programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.